always cost somebody something. Freedom always costs somebody something. I want you to turn with me today to John chapter number 8. Very familiar portion of scripture for such an occasion. And I want to start reading in verse 31. This actually is a scripture where Jesus again was talking to the Jews that believed on him. We opened that up in verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Then Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." Verse 36 is the key verse of the day. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's read that together. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you for the opportunity, God, to be here to share the word of the Lord that stands forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will stand forever. Father, bless your people today from the hearing of thy word. Let it fall upon good ground, Lord. And Father, let it bring forth a harvest in due season. Lord, anoint me to preach, anoint my mind to remember, and anoint me to be able to articulate the very things you put into my heart today. That your name be glorified, that your name be praised. And Father, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. As we start this today, of course, I have found out through study over the last several days, just to remind myself of the privileges that we have had as Christians to be here in America, where we have the freedom of religion without restraint, to be able to live and witness and experience Jesus for ourselves. There are regions around this world that are not allowed to have the Holy Writ, if you will, the Holy Scripture, if you will. There are those around this world today, even in the day and the hour that we are living in, when we think that the Bible and we think that the name of Jesus has been embraced around the world, and you think that the name of Jesus has been heard enough that everybody knows who Jesus is. Just recently, in some studies that I'm doing, there has been some interviews that have been done, and they are being asked in Israel, matter of fact, "What do you know about Jesus?" "We don't really know who Jesus is. We don't study that. We don't have a New Testament. We don't read the New Testament. We don't accept the New Testament. Jesus was maybe a prophet, maybe like Abraham or someone like that, or maybe like Joseph or David. Or they'll make reference to that, but they really don't know who Jesus is. Like I said earlier when we started the service, the reality of it is you might have heard about Jesus, but the reality is you'll never know him until you know him in your heart for yourself. And when we begin to look at this, we can see that where Jesus here was talking to the Jews that had believed in him. But we can see too that the whole purpose of Jesus' coming was to bring humanity out of the yoke of the bondage of sin. To destroy that grip of sin, if you will, that was brought by Satan himself, the adversary of your very soul, the devil as we know him. And God never intended for you nor me or anybody to live in the grip of Satan, in the bondage of sin. But yet today in the world that we're living in, a world that is without Christ, a world that is without Jesus, a world that is still to this day that is walking in the bondage of sin brought on by the disobedience of your parents. So don't talk about my mom and daddy. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about them because it was there in that garden when the enemy came and the enemy began to tempt Eve, and then Eve gave the fruit to Adam, if you will. But at that point, they were told not to eat of the tree of good and evil. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. Yet we can see there in that moment of time when Satan's promise was wrong. He promised them something that they were looking for, and something that was going to bring them into a life of bondage, and that was simply what they thought was freedom. Satan promised them freedom, yet he put them in the grip of bondage, and I don't know what it is today, but Satan's promise for freedom, man was assumed at that time that defying God was a way to bring about his own destiny. Think about what I just said. Men at that time thought that defying God was a way of bringing about their own destiny. You think about our world today and how many people have got a defiant spirit, a defiance, if you will, or a defiant disorder, if you will, whereby they think, well, a Christian is not going to tell me what to do. America is not going to tell me what to do. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. And in the very original heart of man, when man was in the garden, man ended up doing the very thing that God told him not to do, and it did not bring them freedom, it brought them deeper into bondage, and it enslaved them into sin. And it's just like the old cliche that you give someone an inch and they're bound to take a mile. But yet in this, we see that sin today is rampant in our society. In our society today that we see that our whole world is infested with sin. But yet I believe that we got to understand that Jesus Christ did not come to save us in our sin. Jesus Christ came to deliver us out of our sin, and once he delivers us out of our sin, we are no longer participators in sin, but he came, actually I love this, that he came to eradicate sin out of our life, which means to destroy, to get rid of something completely from our life. But yet when we think about sin today, we think about what sin does. We understand that sin corrupts our thinking. We think about sin as controlling our thinking. We think about sin as controlling our actions, if you will. It destroys the peace, and worst of all, it destroys our entire lives. But yet we think about this, that sin separates us from God. It separates us from our Heavenly Father. A few days ago on a couple of services, I was actually preaching out of the book of Colossians, but I couldn't help but to go back there again. Because first of all, we see that the Bible promises you and I, through Jesus, the freedom from the bondage of sin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22, we ask you that question today. I'm not here in any way, shape, form, or fashion to condemn or to judge or to look down my nose at anybody because, hey, I stumble and fall myself sometime. But here's the thing. I don't live in sin. I don't live in the bondage of sin. He set me free, as the song in the hymnal says. He set me free, and thank God he did set me free. But the Bible promises us that you and I can live in the freedom from the bondage of sin. We look in Colossians there, and we look at this in chapter number 1, verse number 20. And this is what the Bible says there. And it says, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Look in 21 and going forward. He says, after, and I wrote that down wrong. That is not where I'm supposed to be. Hang on, everybody. Here's another on the fly adjustment. That is not where I need to be. This is why I carry my Bible to church, because I can turn there and I can look at it. Hang on. Don't get nervous. I've done this before. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Colossians 1 and 20. No, something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong, but I'm going to read what's in my Bible, okay? This is what is Colossians 1:20. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Look at that. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him, watch this, to reconcile. Reconcile, not only does it mean to sit down, talk about it, and let's resolve the conflict, but the word reconcile means to bring together. Oh, my friend, think about this, that he reconciled all things unto himself. Aren't you glad you're a child of God today? Aren't you glad you belong to God today? We ought to be shouting happy right there. The Christians that's in the room today, that God has set us free, we ought to be on our feet celebrating and glorifying God, because we are no longer in the bondage to the devil, and God has set us free. That's a good Presbyterian amen right there. I remember preaching like that in the church of God, and they'd about shout me down. I don't know how we got to this place we are today. But we look at this. He set us free. I tell you one thing, and this is not my notes. One thing is this. Don't get so comfortable in your deliverance that you forget what it was to be in bondage. I remember the grip of sin. We don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to talk about those things that make us look at our humanity and make us think about the reality. If God had not been in our life and if Jesus had not have saved us, oh, what a mess I would be today. What a mess, Brother Tim, I would be today if he hadn't have brought me out and reconciled me unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth, look at the next one, or things in heaven. 21 goes on to say this. I love this. And you, the Bible said, that were sometimes alienated. You were separated. You were an enemy from God in your mind by your wicked works. Look at this. Now, and yet now hath he reconciled again when we were yet in our trespasses and in our sins. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the things that you have done today on this 4th of July freedom celebration. Oh, you come to set the captive free, and no longer am I in the grip of Satan like our forefathers and like Adam and Eve was. But oh, thank God today he set me free today. And thank God today that he set me free. Look at the next verse. When we look at this, we see this in 22. Look at not only our former state, and look at our current state, and that is what we've been reconciled. Look at our future state. In this, he says, in the body of his flesh through death. Watch this. Future state, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And all the people give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah to his name today. Hallelujah. So we look at this today, and we must understand now that Jesus has set us free. So what do we do? And again, I don't have time to elaborate on everything that's in these next verses of Scripture. I'm only going to read a few of them to us this morning. But we can see this in the book of Romans chapter 6. How are we to live right in a world gone wrong? How are we to live for God today in a world that is so thorn infested and sin infested? Let me just say this, and this is not in my text either. There is probably someone sitting here today that would tell the pastor, Pastor, you don't understand the grip that Satan's got on my heart. You would not understand the grip that an addiction has on my heart. You don't understand the things that torments my mind at night when I go to sleep. Pastor, you just don't understand what I go through emotionally or psychologically. You don't know what I'm facing physically. Oh, but friend of mine, I just come by long enough to tell you today that in Him I live, I move, and I have my being. And without Him, I cannot do anything at all. But with Him, all things are possible to him that believe. And God come to set you free. And I refuse to accept the plan of Satan over my life. And my friend, I fully accept what Jesus Christ come to do. And He come to break every bondage over my life and to set the captive free. Somebody needs to shout in this room today, I'm free! Hallelujah! I'm free! And let God set you free today. Hallelujah to His name. My God, He set me free. I know what He did to me. I know my own weaknesses. He set me free today. I'm no longer held captive. I'm no longer, Brenda, a captive. I don't know about you, but I thank God today I've got a future and I've got a hope. I'm not the man I used to be. Hallelujah. I may not always be what I need to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, well, does it take all that shouting? Yes, it does today. I'm in spiritual warfare up here and y'all don't even know it. I got the imps of hell stirred up today. They don't like me and I don't like them. But I won't be quiet. I will not recant. I will not back down and I will not turn around. Like a mighty army moves the church of God, and we have to do this. We have to do this. The devil ain't ashamed. The devil runs around half naked and crazy out there all day long. They don't even give a rip. Why would we not have the right to stand up for God today in the American church and say, in Him I live and I move and I have my being. If you don't like Jesus, just get on out of my way. We've been in a corner too long. We've been quiet too long. Stick our head in the shell like a little turtle or an ostrich in the sand. We need to stand up and we need to shout praise God every time we get a chance. I don't care if you're at Walmart. It's better than all the fighting and crazy stuff that goes on over there. But how do you know I can stay set free? If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's our text. But here's what He says. My God, I feel Him. I just absolutely feel the Lord today in my soul. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter number 6, this is what He says. I'm only going to read part of this. You can read it at length when you get chance. But He says this in Romans 6 and 12 and 13. This is what He says. Let not sin therefore reign, which means to set up housekeeping. Oh, somebody needs to kick the devil out. Somebody says the devil's been riding my back all day long, all week long. Well, take the saddle off your back and quit giving him a place to ride. Come on, somebody. Let not sin reign therefore in your mortal body. Here it is. He says that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Verse 13 says this real plain. He says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. Look in verse 14. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Somebody just got set free today. The second thing is, if we look at this, it says, the price that was paid for my freedom. We see this. We see this in the scripture. I've already mentioned this, but I want to go back to Colossians just for a minute. Colossians chapter 1. And I hope that I get this right. Sorry, Kathy. I hope that I get this right. Watch this. This is in Colossians 1. Actually, I want to go back in verse number 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us free to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light. In light. Look in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Look at that word. Delivered. Set free. Freedom. He liberated us. I don't know if I could get any plainer today. He liberated me from the bondages of sin. He liberated me from my former man. He liberated me from who I was. And He's made me into who He wants me to be. But he says here in the scriptures, we move forward in 13. He said he delivered us from the power of God, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Look in verse 14. I love this one. Look at this. In whom we have redemption. We have been redeemed. Hello, somebody. You remember those green stamps, ladies? Well, the ladies in this room may not, but years ago, my mama had green stamps. You'd get at the grocery store. You'd fill up a booklet of green stamps. She'd take them over in Asheville on Patton Avenue to the green stamp store. She'd take those green stamps and she'd turn them in and redeem them for whatever kitchen appliance she wanted. I remember her taking those green stamps and taking those stamps and trading them for a mixer one time. What did Jesus do? My God, Brother Tim, he took my place on Calvary so I don't have to go there. His blood was turned into the Father and he redeemed me and he set me free today. Somebody shout amen today. Hallelujah. I don't have to go to the cross. He did it. He set me free. We have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, thank God today. I'm thinking of a song today that said sin is a captive. It binds and it holds. My friend, sin at the blood had to lose its grip. But now we have freedom. My faith on this 4th of July weekend, real freedom. What did his blood do? What does his freedom do? Watch this. It restored a broken relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Sin deformed us. Christ reformed us. When we look at 2 Corinthians 3, and 17, and I sure hope I wrote this one down right. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. This is what he says. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now that Jesus lives in my heart. Now that Jesus lives in my life. Now that I am a child of God. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I am no longer in the bondage to the enemy. I have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now my relationship with him has been restored, and now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is why I can say amen. That is why I can say praise the Lord. That is why Jesus told the Pharisee and the Jews, oh, you're not in bondage anymore. You're not in bondage to the laws. You're set free from that. Through me, the Lord Jesus, I have been set free, no longer bound to the tyranny of man or to the expectations of man. Now all my freedom and my salvation rest in him alone, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but by grace through faith are you saved. And I am so glad today to report to you that being born again is the best thing that ever happened in my life. Hallelujah. What about me, Pastor? I believe that you can stay free today. I believe once you get free, the concept is staying free. Get in church where you can grow, where you can be discipled. Get you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, come and see the preacher. I'll get you a Bible. I'll give you a Bible. Because the Bible is your roadmap. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. And it's how we grow and how we learn, pray and read the Bible. But yet, if we negate or neglect that duty and responsibility, you can't put it off on the preacher. You can't negate. You can't put it on the preacher. And if you neglect it, you'll never grow. I heard a story. No, this is not a story. This is a real, this is a real, 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 real event. This is why you got to get free and stay free. When I pastored in Monroe, and yes, I said Monroe, Sherry and I, there was men, they done prison ministry. They would go to the local correctional institution and they would bring men to the church Wednesday and Sunday. And we advocated to get some of these guys out of prison, out of jail. She knows what I'm talking about. And one of them had been in prison for 29 years. He'd been in prison. I went to Raleigh on a church van. We advocated to get this man out. Been incarcerated 29 years. In a matter of 2 weeks, got mixed up with a woman. Done a lot of bad things in 2 weeks. In the middle of the night, I was called out in the middle of the night. We got to go get this person out of this house. What I did not know was when I would see him walking back and forth in front of the picture window, and I was on the phone with him, and I was negotiating. Y'all didn't know I did all that, did you? I was negotiating with him through the police department to get him out of that house. And I finally talked him down, talked him out, got him out. And Brother Larry, they arrested him. He was accused of rape. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I don't know. But what I didn't know, this was like 2 o'clock in the morning. What I did not know was all behind me, Brother Steve, in the woods, there was a SWAT team, all dressed in solid black, all around me. One bad move, and it would have been over. The man told me he had a liquor bottle, a fifth of liquor with a long snout on it. He said, at one time, I thought about just doing that at the window and just letting them take me out. I think about that, and I think about what the enemy wants for all of us. This man was on the right path, but a bad decision got him back out there. The second guy I think about was the same group of guys, same ones we picked up. He got out. I don't know how long he'd been in there. But in just a matter of days, just a matter of days out of getting out of prison, as long as he was there, just a matter of days, he was already back out on the street smoking crack. Just a matter of days. And I don't tell that story to shame or to condemn these men. I'm just telling you, if we don't stay right with God and stay in communication with God and pray, you've got to get free and you've got to stay free. I found out that Jesus Christ is the only way that I can stay free from sin. Last thing, real fast. We got to live in freedom. We got to live in this freedom. We got to live in this freedom that Jesus has set us free. Here it is. No more guilt, no more shame. Don't let your past rob you of your future. By that, I mean this. Don't let what you did yesterday define you today. And to keep you from being what God wants you to be tomorrow. Because the devil always wants to bring up your past. Jensen Franklin said the reason that the devil always brings up your past is because he don't have no new material on you. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil always wants to say, well, I remember when you did this, or I remember when you did that. But here's the thing. If you've been to Calvary, and if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, every time the devil brings up your past, you bring up his future. Because I read in the back of the book where there's an angel that's got a chain. That God's going to release that angel in the future, way in the future somewhere. And he's going to bind, Brother Robert, you know this, he's going to bind that devil. He's going to chain him up. And he's going to throw him in the lake of fire. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. The only way to escape that is by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. You say, well, how do I do that? It's really simple. The Bible says if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what Paul the Apostle told that Philippian jailer in Acts 16. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You've got to believe in your heart Then you got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and you died for me. I accept the fact that you spilt your blood on Calvary for my sins. I know that my sins have washed away. I do this by faith. I trust you by faith. You say, well, preacher, I don't trust anything I can't see. Well, you need to quit breathing, because you can't see oxygen, but you can't live without it. You may not be able to see Jesus, but you see the effects of Jesus just like the wind in your life. Because God will put something inside of you, a hunger and a thirst to love Him, to honor Him, and to serve Him. You will actually hate the things you used to love and love the things you used to hate. God will turn your life around. If you want God to do that today, and if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to challenge you today to come and stand up here. You say, well, oh, preacher, I'd never come up here and stand by myself. Well, that's great. Well, see, you don't have to, because I'm already here. You're not standing by yourself. I'm with you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to throw nothing on you. I'm not going to kick your legs out from under you and make you fall. I don't do stuff like that. But I do want to pray for you, because I do believe that Jesus is in this room today. He's been here. I have been in His presence today, haven't you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And if you're here today and you want to come for prayer, come up here now. Let us pray for you. Father, we love, honor, and praise, and thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for what Jesus has meant to us today. Thank you, Heavenly Father God, for the blood that never loses its power. Oh, the blood that Jesus spilled on Calvary. The blood that Jesus spilled for every one of us. Lord, I'm thankful for that blood today. Thank you, God, today for the touch of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God, that you'll take our sins and, Father, you'll cast our sins as far to the east as from the west, never to be brought up against us again. And, Father, we accept you in our hearts. We accept what Jesus did on Calvary. We accept the work that Jesus, the finished work of Calvary, where Jesus went to Calvary and He bled and He died and He gave His life a ransom for us. We accept that today. We believe that today. We honor that today. And Lord, we know today that God, in you we live, we have our being, and without you we cannot do anything at all. And Father, we have that freedom in Jesus today. Oh, He sets the captive free. Oh, He sets the captive free. Luke chapter 4, He come to bind up the brokenhearted and set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus, we thank you for that today. We thank you for that today. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. Would you stretch your hands this way as we pray for these this morning? Hallelujah.